You're listening to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, you're listening to Dynamite Fallout with your host, Chuck Elite, the Christian Killjoy, brought to you by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Dynamite Fallout.
For joining us. It's great of you to do so. I am Chuck Elite, and this is Dynamite Fallout, and with me as always, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Christian Killjoy. What's going on, my brother?
Good. What's up, bitches? What's up,
bitches? Oh, man. Just, trying to shake off this dynamite hangover.
Yeah.
This dynamite hangover that featured Moxley versus Brody, TNT title on the line, and a few other surprises. So we kick it off tonight from short show tonight, I believe. But we're going to talk about that in a little while. Maybe we'll do something different in the upcoming episodes. We'll see. But first, tonight's episode, my bro, is from New York. Rochester, New York, from the Blue Cross Arena.
Not only that, but it also is the home of the late, great Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper.
Oh. I'll be darned. May he rest in peace. And, of course, his family was there. Taz on commentary with Excalibur and Tony Schiavone, and the show kicks off with Mr. Mayhem, Wardlow versus Scorpio Sky, the champion, I might add, TNT champion, with Dan Lambert, Ethan Page, and America's Top Team. So Scorpio Sky has his goons out there. Well, Mr. Mayhem Wardlow, he's all alone, you know, because he can take on 20 guys or more even. He's unstoppable.
Yeah.
So we had the match, and the winner, of course, I think we called it last week, Wardlow wins.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been better maybe if they would have stretched it out a little bit, but they went straight for the kill. What were you thinking about the match and the way it was booked?
Dude, the match was good. It was a great match. Wardlow had to win, dude, because as much as Scorpio Sky is a good wrestler, he was doing nothing with this fucking title, all right? He was doing nothing. And the fact that he's working injured plays a big part in why he lost this title. So, yeah. It was good while it lasted, but all good things must come to an end. Wardlow's your new TNT champion.
Kind of reminiscent to how Goldberg won over Raven for the WCW title back in the day. The WCW, I think it was the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Kind of reminiscent to that. However, it didn't have the same feel. This has more of a manufactured feel to me. And by the way, I wasn't a champion. I wasn't a fucking fan of Goldberg by any means during that run he had.
The reason why this is different from that is because Goldberg winning the U.S. title is fucking unnecessary. He didn't need it to win that fucking belt. He was going after the world title anyway. So they made Goldberg a double champion for no reason whatsoever. That was unnecessary. That's the reason why that sucked.
Yeah. So there you go. Wardlow certainly has momentum now. He's beat, you know, MJF, and now he's got a championship. What's next for Wardlow? When? How soon before he goes after one of the other titles? How many titles do they have over there? Holy smoke.
Well,
they got a lot of titles.
They have the tag titles. They have now the newly formed All-Atlantic Championship. They have the world title. And they have the TNT title. So he has a lot of options right now.
He has the TNT title right now, right? That's what this was for.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So do you think that he's going to eventually take all the titles? Do you see that happening? Or do you think they're going to... He's going to lose momentum at some point before that.
Well, he has to drop one title and then to chase another. So I don't think he's going to hold every title. All right. Because now they have FTR. They have FTR doing that. So they can't have another person collecting championships.
Yeah. FTR is doing that right now. You're right. So there you go. Wardlow with the big win tonight. Of course, it was thanks to a Powerbomb Symphony.
Yeah.
Which is what it's called. I mean, this guy, did he go through WWE or was he in their camp or something and they didn't want him?
He tried out in WWE and they just didn't accept him, you know? A lot of people from AEW tried out in WWE and they were not accepted. MJF was one of them. Eddie Kingston was one of them. Wardlow was one of them. And WWE saw nothing in these people. Because WWE are idiots.
I actually like all three of those guys. It's a bunch of the other ones that I don't really care for. But, yeah, those three, I like them. So, Lambert was involved in the match a little bit. I thought it was a good match. I felt like it should have been different. I think that they should have, the bad guys should have done a little bit of cheating. I think they should have prevented him from winning and swung it on a little bit longer. However, I can see why they did what they did for the big pop. And, they're right on track with, a Goldberg style type of deal. And I'd like to see how far they're going to take it. I think they're going to take it Goldberg status, but we'll see. And we will keep you updated, of course, because, we're going to be watching this shit and talking about it each and every week right here on the World Generation Podcast. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
John Moxley cut a promo backstage about his match with Brody King, talking about how Brody King thinks he's going to be able to catch him off guard, and then Moxley doesn't know. The kind of monster he is.
Kept saying monster repeatedly in this promo.
Yeah. Moxley said, that King doesn't know what kind of monster Moxley is. So he kept repeating monster.
And he was talking about swimming in
the deep waters with the biggest shark in AEW.
So he kept saying caught off guard and all that, right, in his promos.
What do you think that meant, this whole promo?
Was he hinting about Bray Wyatt coming to AEW? Because he kept repeating the word monster over and over again. What if Bray Wyatt is his next opponent? Like, they have history
and the,
with
the whole King thing and the King's heart and shit.
Yeah. They have history with each other, Bray Wyatt and John in WWE, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going to happen.
Huh. So then we go to a commercial break, and then, we have Smart Mark, Sterling, and Tony Nese approaching Keith Lee to try to get him to sign a petition to have Swerve Strickland removed from the roster.
Why?
He's a bunch of Karens or some shit.
Where did this hate for Swerve Strickland came from?
I happen to like the guy. I think he's pretty entertaining.
I mean, the last time Tony Nese and Mark Sterling were together, They were hating fucking Hook and Danhausen. Now they're targeting Swerve Strickland for no reason.
So that's what these guys are, huh? They're haters? Smart Mark
Sterling.
Yeah,
they're haters. Yeah.
So, you know, Keith Lee, you know, brushes them off or whatever. And then we got Christian Cage coming out with his new, you know, his new buddy, Luchasaurus. And he goes on to talk about how week after week, how that after last week, he's still the Cage everyone is talking about.
Nah.
He says that everyone wants to know why Luchasaurus decided to, remained aligned with them. But before he could say anything else, Matt Hardy comes out.
He also said that he people were still asking him why he turned on Jungle Boy, and I'm sitting there on my couch, I'm saying, what are you talking about? Do you explain this 2 weeks ago why you turned on him? You did it for the money, and you did it because he eliminated you in the Battle Royal. You already explained why you turned on him.
Yeah.
Did you just suddenly forgotten about that?
So Matt Hardy's out there, and he's cutting a promo talking about how Christian is the Michael Jordan of, you know, being an asshole.
Okay.
And then Matt Hardy mocks him. I mean, I'm sorry, Christian mocks Matt Hardy by, you know, saying that that to be buddies with Jungle Boy all of a sudden, and he says that Matt is starting to, you know, make Jeff Hardy seem like the sober one. Christian's mocking Matt Hardy and Jungle Boy's, you know, new little buddy deal. He says that all of a sudden Matt Hardy is making Jeff seem like the sober one. The fuck out of here. The brutalness continues with his promos. Christian, your thoughts?
Every company makes fun of Jeff Hardy and his problems, and Jeff Hardy has nobody but himself to blame for it because he always fucks himself over. All right, I'm not sharing sympathy for Jeff Hardy, saying, "Oh, that's messed up." He deserves every fucking rib and every fucking insult. He deserves it. He's a junkie. All right, Jeff Hardy's a junkie.
He is. So he goes on to talk about how Christian, and here's another funny thing that I thought was, you know, interesting, because he, you know, Matt Hardy goes on to talk about what Christian is doing, and he says that he just wants to use Luchasaurus to try to make as much money as he can off of him. You know, the same thing he did with the Private Party.
That's wrong. First of all, Matt Hardy didn't even turn on his fucking stable. His stable turned on him, all right? That he didn't, and there was no he was big money Matt, but he never stated he was using them, all right? Like, he was kicked out of his own faction, so it was the other way around, Matt.
Christian, in fact, has no problem saying that he's using them. He said it in that promo 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he says that the only reason that he's out there is because he's a clout chaser, and says he'll use anyone, including his wife, his father-in-law, or his kids. Says he'll even
turn
a blind eye to his brother's issues for one last run.
It's kind of true. In a way, it is kind of true, because, you know, Matt Hardy was being a schmuck in TNA, and the only reason why he got over was because of the whole broken gimmick and introducing his wife being involved. So it is kind of true. So
promo was good. Christian continues, and he said that he is the hottest, most influential star in AEW.
Well,
and that Matt just wanted to be near him. He says that Matt's screw-up loser brother isn't even the most embarrassing person in his family, because Matt is.
Well,
at which point Matt tries to attack him, but Luchasaurus beats him down instead. So,
well, that's debatable right now, because on one hand, you had Matt Hardy, who couldn't take the breakup and the cheating of Lita, where the point where Matt Hardy got so drunk, he had a cardboard cutout of Lita and started beating the shit out of it in his home when he was drunk. But then you have Jeff Hardy, who's just a fucking junkie, who could have seriously hurt somebody or anybody, and he's an unprofessional dickhead. So the table's up there, Chuck, Minister. The table's up there of debate. Who's the worst?
Yeah.
Who's the most embarrassing?
So the thing is that Christian is doing a great job, and hopefully somebody is taking notes out there.
Yeah, Edge.
And I'm not just talking about Edge. I'm talking about even people on their roster, you know, the younger talent, because some of these guys can't even talk. Take Jungle Boy, for example.
Who?
Jungle Boy. If they're going to turn him into a star, at some point he's got to start fucking talking.
Well, he's going to be serious. He's going to be pissed off.
So then we go to a video package, you know, with the blood and guts and shit. And Tony Schiavone went on to interview Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah, and Jack Hager.
And Jack Hager, yeah.
We, the people, the real Americans.
Yeah, the real Americans. The real Americans back together in AEW. Claudio was taunting Hager for being Jericho's bag carrier.
Which he is. He's the most boring member of the fucking faction. He just stands around doing nothing.
So next week they set up a match for next week. I'm actually looking forward to this match, even though it's a, you know, WWE match, but not really.
It's not, yeah, not really. I mean, this is two different people. This isn't Jack Swagger versus Cesaro. This is Claudio versus Jake Hager. I mean,
yeah, so.
the first time these two wrestled after the breakup was dog shit. All right, I don't even know if you even saw that match. Did you even see that match?
It was made for TV, a bunch of horse shit is what it was.
It was horrible.
It was just a bunch of fucking shit. So they've got a match coming up next week. I'm excited for it because, yeah, it's going to be different from WWE Circus that they have, their weekly circus. Which, by the way,
yeah.
I tried tuning into fucking Raw this week, and I couldn't do it. I watched parts of it, but by the end, I was done. I don't think I watched the last hour.
You want to know the ratings for this week's Raw?
Since you brought it up, sure.
This is the aftermath of the pay-per-view they had, Money in the Bank. 1.5 million.
Wow.
A record low.
For a post show?
Yeah.
A post pay-per-view? Wow.
I guess nobody gives a fuck about Liv Morgan winning a title. Or the fact that Austin Theory is the new Money in the Bank holder. I guess nobody gives a fuck. So,
wow.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So they brought up a video package. Oh, yeah, we already talked about that and Claudio and shit.
Yeah.
So then
yeah,
they
yeah.
had the Butcher and the Blade with Ali versus Swerve in Our Glory.
Yeah.
So
sure,
I don't know who this Butcher and the Blade are.
They're old. They're AEW originals. You know, they
feud
with the Young Bucks.
They're those guys. The one guy looks like Cesaro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then the other guy's like halfway bald but with long hair.
Yeah.
Like his hair starts in the middle of his head.
He's the one who gets injured a lot.
So we had the match between them and Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee.
The limited one.
Back together again after a little that little dust up they had at that paper, whenever it was, a couple weeks ago,
although,
to see who got in the pay-per-view.
Although during the match, there's still more teasings of this tag team breaking up because Blade pulled Swerve in the way of Keith Lee when Keith Lee attacked. So there you go. There's still teases that this team is going to break up.
Yeah. And they will.
Yeah.
They will. So then we had... Yeah?
I mean, to be honest, I still do not even know why they're even a tag team to begin with. Like, when did they even got together? I still don't even know.
It's like they both showed up at the same time, so they said, oh, fuck, let's just put a new tag team together. But essentially, they showed up at the same time. And just like that, they got put into a tag team. So it's like it was totally uncreative.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess the payoff will be them splitting up and going on their own. The payoff to that storyline. I don't know what the payoff is going to be for each one of them individual. Strickland, I can see more potential in.
Yeah.
What do you think? Who's going to be the bigger star out of them two?
Well, Keith Lee, obviously, because the fans like Keith Lee. Already fans are starting to not give a fuck about Swerve Strickland because the guy has no fucking personality. Well, what the fuck is his personality? The only thing he says every time he talks is, whose house is this? That's it. That's his catchphrase.
Whose house is this?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's no personality.
So, but we'll see how that turns out, and we'll keep you posted on that. You know, and of course, I was wrong back in the old days as well when... I forget their name, but it was Cody Rhodes and DiBiase Jr.
Legacy. Right?
I thought DiBiase Jr. was going to be the bigger star out of the two. I was certain it was going to happen. And the other kid didn't even fucking last 2 years or so, maybe not even a year after the breakup.
I think he lasted
tucked
until 2000.
Tucked his fucking tail and went home. Picked up his ball and went home.
You know what really
selling
you know
real
really
estate and then getting in a fucking bunch of trouble for fraud.
You know what really fucked him over when he did the fucking Marine 2. That was that day when they said, you know, this fucking guy can't fucking act. He's fucking garbage. Fucking fire him.
And then of course they brought in the Miz.
Who was a better actor?
I saw, like, the beginning of the one with the Miz, and I didn't see any of the one with Ted DiBiase.
Marine 2 is the worst fucking movie. It's worse than the Marine 1 with John Cena.
Which one is the one with Randy Orton?
Randy Orton's just the newspaper one. He wasn't in Marine.
Oh, okay.
He was in a movie where it was a cameo, and he says, I'll go to the fucking newspapers if I have to. About a bullying movie.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So anyway, we'll have to catch up on that some other time. Team Taz comes out.
Yeah.
And you got this powerhouse Hobbs saying that they're tired of him.
Although, to be fair, Minister, do we really have to keep calling these people Team Taz? They barely interact with Taz anymore, or Hook.
You know, and I've always been a Taz hater, I guess you could say. I've never really cared for Taz. But he's actually much better in the announce table.
Yeah.
For some reason, I can pass him at the announce table. As an in-ring talent and shit, the manager type, I can't stand them.
Yeah, so can we, like, why are they still called Team Taz? They barely interact with them in fucking backstage promos or anything. They barely say anything about Taz.
But for some reason, they're still Team Taz, and Hook is on his own.
Yeah.
So they're calling him names, a bunch of trick-ass bitches and whatnot, and, I really didn't care for that part of the segment, but then the Young Bucks walked out and tried to make it a little bit more entertaining. And I guess they succeeded. It was a little bit more entertaining because those guys are entertaining. I noticed the guy didn't look like he was wearing pajamas again this week. That's 2 weeks in a row that he's not wearing pajamas.
The crowd started chanting FTR, by the way.
Yes. Very, very well noted there. Christian Killjoy, very well noted. They started chanting FTR, so the guy had to put his hand over the mic and talk about how, you know, they were better or whatever. But he did cut a good promo talking about how everybody's eating well now and this and that. I mean, they're good at what they do, and I'm sure the match will be entertaining. But let's call it right now. I say that they're going to retain.
Yeah, they're going to retain, and then probably Swerve and Keith Lee are going to break up there on that show.
So we're looking forward to that happening next week. You heard it here. They're going to retain, and then Swerve and Keith Lee will break up then and start their feud, I guess.
Yeah, because they can't challenge for the tag titles. I mean, that's, how many tag title opportunities have this team gotten? They lost in a triple threat tag title match at, I think it was Double or Nothing. They lost that. They only beat a New Japan tag team that was not really that important. And they're going to lose again at next week's show. So consider this team done by the time next week happens.
So there you have it. The three-way match is on between the Young Bucks, Swerve in Our Glory, and Team Taz, who, by the way, shouldn't even be called Team Taz. But that happens next week, as the fans were chanting FTR at them. So Malakai Black then cuts a promo talking about Brody King and how he's going to make sure that Moxley endures something that goes far past the physical realm of pain.
Yeah.
We got all this going on. Let's see, what did I miss here?
I think Eddie Kingston was brought in to an interview with Tony Schiavone.
Yeah. Yeah, Eddie Kingston comes in, they do the interview with Tony Schiavone, but then next thing you know, they go backstage. It's Jericho calling for the attention.
And then Ruby Riott got attacked.
Yeah. Ruby Soho's arm, they pulled the Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
Tay Conti pulled the four horsemen on the Dusty Rhodes, slams Ruby Soho's arm in the car door. Jericho then tells Kingston that the same thing can happen to him.
To be fair, she kind of deserved that, what happened to Ruby. Because she interfered in a match that she had no business being a part of last week.
You know, that's true. I mean, you know, yeah, that's true. I mean, I concur. Also, I was a little disappointed that we didn't see a flame, you know, because he's a wizard.
Well, he can't flame a girl, then that would
I thought about it. I was like, what, no flame? And then I put a little bit of thought into it, and I was like, oh, no, that's going to portray, you know, man against woman violence, and the people will be in a fucking uproar.
especially not now during this whole abortion thing going around. So then it would have been worse.
Be in a fucking uproar, man. So no fireball tonight.
But
I was entertained by that. Anytime Jericho's on TV, I'm sports entertained. By the way.
Yeah.
So then. Then the show really takes a dive. You get these clowns, the Dark Order, coming out.
Yeah. I thought the moment they were coming down, I thought they were going to say we're disbanding, you know. It's not working out. They brought in Brody Lee's kid in because he's part of the Dark Order and all that, and, you know.
Well, it was his hometown, too, you know.
Yeah.
So it's understandable that they worked him in the hometown. But yeah. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah. What else happened? Oh, this guy, Alex Reynolds, wherever the guy is, the black-haired guy, he looks like a miserable fuck. Like, can this guy fucking smile for once? Like, why does he look so miserable every time he's on camera?
Yeah. So QT Marshall comes out, interrupts, asking how long they're going to have to put up with the charity case. And then the kid starts, you know, falling apart, trying to get at, you know, QT Marshall.
You know, you're in the bottom of the barrel in segments when QT Marshall's involved, because whenever you're in a feud with QT Marshall, you're in the bottom of the barrel.
So he goes on to continue the promo talking about, he goes after, you know, the kid's mother. He says that Brody Legend is a legend, but you know, the kid takes after his mother.
I don't know how that is an insult. How is that an insult? Like, I didn't understand that. You take after your mother. Okay, what is that implying, that she goes around with people? What the fuck was that? I didn't understand that fucking insult.
So we had Hangman Page come out all of a sudden. Ended up kicking Marshall's ass. And then tossing him in the ring for the rest of the Dark Order to beat him down.
Marshall, who, by the way, is the leader and the coach of the Nightmare Factory, or the Factory, and not a single fucking member came out and helped
him. Yeah, where the fuck were his boys? They were at catering, I guess.
Yeah.
They were getting down to pate at catering. So, yeah, you know, they had that whole deal, you know. This bottom of the barrel segment, you're right. I mean, like I said, it took a big downhill. That whole segment was just a big old piss break.
It was
horrible. Good for
like,
the kid. He got his deal. He got his, you know, moment on TV or whatever. But,
well, do they have to have the kid shirtless? I mean, that's kind of disturbing and creepy. Can you just put the kid's shirt on?
Put a wife beater on him.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You know, there's some creeps who watch this show, and you're having a kid shirtless. That's not really a good image, is it? Like, come on.
No, that's not a good image, bro. We got to keep it G. Got to keep it G. Yes. Speaking of keeping it G, Jim Ross comes out keeping a G in his jeans and his shirt with his shirt tail tucked out, cowboy hat and shit. Joins commentary for hour two. This was the second week I noticed they've done that. Have they been doing this all the time, or is it just the second week I've noticed it?
Well, it's because he's probably getting tired. You know, it's almost time for him to retire, you know, so maybe they're doing this just to give him a break, because the man's not like what he used to be. He's making mistakes nowadays. He's calling people by the wrong name. He calls Claudio Cesaro. He's calling Ruby Soho Ruby Riot.
He got one thing right last week or the week before. It was they were in the ring fighting for the chance to win something. The right to go to the match at the pay-per-view or something like that. And the guy with the mask called the wrong guy that got pinned.
Yeah.
JR actually made the correction on it. I can't remember who it was because I'm an old fuck too, but.
one of them called Brody King Brody Lee tonight too.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Because
the dude with the mask is equally as bad. I hate to
come
say it because I like the guy.
How the fuck can you confuse Brody King with Brody Lee? They don't look anything alike. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. The only thing they have in common is the name.
That they're as worse as Michael Cole, man, when it comes to fucking mistakes. Michael Cole thought that someone got hit by a steel chair, but it was a fucking steel steps.
Which begs the question, bro. If Brody Lee was still with us, and of course he'd still be with AEW, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
He'd be a headliner, main eventing.
Yeah.
But would this Brody King be in existence? Would he be around with the same name?
Well, yeah, but one of them.
Or
has
would they
to
pull
the
WWE where one of them's got to go? Because we can't have two.
No, I would think they would change Brody King's name to just King. And then
be
Brody
King.
Lee. Yeah, the King.
So moving on with Jim Ross on the commentary, Penta Oscuro with Rey Fénix,
yeah,
and Alex Abrahantes versus Rush with Ídolo Andrade. Rush. It's fucking Rush. Come on, man. It's fucking Rush. They're talking Rush. This was another segment that I really didn't care for. Although the match was somewhat entertaining, you know, you got to like that kind of shit, I guess. Luchador style or whatever. So, but at this point, I'm feeling sorry for the fucking audience that spent good money to see this shit. Because, aside from the couple of great, good moments that have been on, this show's been a dud up at this point, in my opinion.
I'm just sick and tired of seeing the managers fight each other. You know, I've seen it once. Why are you doing it again over and over and over? I don't give a fuck.
At some point in the match, it seemed like the guys that were with Ídolo were getting it on against each other.
Yeah.
Is that what happened, or was I seeing things?
No, yeah, that's what happened. The fucking managers were fighting each other again. Because they do that every fucking time.
They're so fucked up they can't even stand each other.
Yeah.
These are the guys that I don't even know who their names are, aside from Ídolo.
Rey Fénix, Penta, and all you know, and all that.
I mean,
Penta,
you know, yeah.
Penta again lost because his mask was taken down, and then it was a roll-up, you know. At this point, you would have to say, you know what, fuck this. I'm tired of wearing a fucking mask because apparently that's the only way I fucking lose my matches now. You know, even though wearing a mask means bullshit. Taking off the mask means bullshit nowadays because multiple luchadors have taken off their fucking mask at this point. The tradition is fucking bullshit at this point.
It had a Mexican-style finish to it, you know, with the whole... It was a classic fucking, you know, Rudo finish. They call it Rudos. Those Rudos, the bad guys, the heels. It was a classic heel finish for Mexico. That's the kind of shit they do. But we're not in Mexico. I wish they wouldn't do it all the time. So anyway, that's what we had. The match was just, it never really fucking took off, dude.
This was his first match, too.
So, and they went on about this Rush and how, you know, he's, you know, comes from a big family that they're all famous and shit. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on those guys, but I didn't care for
it. I don't give a fuck about his family. I just came here to see him fucking wrestle.
So next week we've got, or I guess it's next week, the ROH title with Samoa Joe against Jay Lethal, which I know you're not looking forward to it.
No, that's the pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. Oh, at Death Before
Dishonor.
That's
for the ROH pay-per-view.
Yeah. So they did a little hype for that. Then Smart Mark Sterling tries to come out, and he's trying to get Best Friends to sign their petition.
With the people, think about try to think this one right. he's trying to get the people who are who he knows who are friends with Danhausen to sign a fucking petition. Think about fucking that. How stupid is that?
So yeah, again, you know, they're falling out of my good graces with this shit. And I mean, I don't know if it gets better or if it gets worse, but we're going to tell you about that shortly, because we're going to take a little fucking break here. And we're going to come back and talk about this some more, because, yeah, that's what we're doing here each and every Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern. And it's all about the boom, baby.
You know what's all about the boom!
Friendly Fire Cigar Studios in Houston, Texas. You're listening to Dynamite Fallout, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy, so future generations can enjoy too.
So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amont, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news. Welcome back to Dynamite Fallout, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network, each and every week, 1 hour after Dynamite, AEW Dynamite, goes off the air. So, yeah, here we are once again, buddy.
Yeah.
We continue with the show. Doesn't get much better than this. The Acclaimed and the Gun Club with Billy Gunn, you know, versus Fuego del Sol, Bear Country, and Leon Ruffin.
All right, well, to save you all the trouble, this match was pointless. Okay, this was just a quick match. The Ass Boys stopped the Acclaim from rapping in the beginning part. And it was all downhill from there. It was all turmoil. Max Caster hit his finisher, his top rope elbow drop. One of the ass boys, I guess it was Austin Gunn or whatever, stole the pin. And then it was revealed that Billy Gunn was in on it all along. He turned on the Acclaimed, the ass boys, and the Gun Club turned on the Acclaimed. Now the Acclaimed are baby faces. What the fuck was the point of this? Why were these two groups together in the first place was never explained. Why did Billy Gunn defended the Acclaimed last week only to turn on them the next week? Pointless. I didn't care about any of this.
Yeah, I found the whole thing a little bit meaningless myself. I didn't care for it. I was, you know, I mean, I guess they got to do stuff like this right now because they've got so much of their top talent hurt that they've got to go with this stuff. But darn, it was rough, man. It was rough, bro. I was like, what the hell am I watching? What the fuck? And then, well, we get Miro cutting a promo on Malakai Black.
Yeah.
Just talking about how the Redeemer is coming for the House of Black. Enraged. And then, of course, we get Thunderstorm.
Oh.
Thunderstorm versus Nyla Rose and Marina Shafir. As if it couldn't get any better, my friend.
This fucking match was so fucking garbage. I feel bad for Toni Storm. She had to fucking put over all three of these talentless hacks. They're all terrible. Marina Shafir, it was fucking awful. Why is she still employed, dude? Fucking Nyla Rose is terrible, but she's not as bad as fucking Marina. And Thunderstorm is the biggest sandbagger ever. She's terrible. Like, this tag match was fucking awful, all right? This week has not been a fucking good week for women's wrestling on every fucking promotion. Not WWE with that fucking terrible Money in the Bank women's ladder match where fucking botching up a storm. It was gotten so bad that Shotzi Blackheart had to take down her Twitter. And then we had this week with AEW when these four women had a horrible tag match. Fuck, women's wrestling has gone a step backwards. It's gone a step back. Horrible.
Still no word, by the way, on Sasha Banks. There had been a report going around that she had been released by WWE, but the report ended up not being true, so we're still at square one. We don't know shit.
They're saying she's been released on June 10th.
So why no word from anybody?
That they're trying to persuade her to come back. But it doesn't fucking help when you have Bianca Belair do an interview saying that she had a main event at WrestleMania with I was the first African woman to main event WrestleMania. That doesn't help the fact that you erased Sasha Banks' legacy and her history. So good luck on that, Dory. Good luck on that.
So, yeah, Thunderstorm win via pinfall with the assisted Fire Thunder driver.
That was awful.
And, yeah. So then we had Stokely Hathaway. Kind of like this guy. I think he does a good job.
Yeah, he was from NXT, so.
He comes out, admits to Jade paying Layla Gray $1,100 to step up for them. But Jade says that if she doesn't deliver, then it's Stokely's ass. And Christian, cut the shit.
This is awful. Right?
Cut the shit.
First of all, I think this is an exclusive club. What do you think Layla's nationality is? Is she an Hispanic woman?
I think so, but I'm not sure. I mean, her last name is Gray.
Okay, so
I really don't. I think she is, though.
This is not being racist, okay? Because I think this is the storyline that this certain group, the Baddies Club, is exclusive for African American females, okay?
Wow.
It's not me being racist, because that's the only reason why I see why they don't want her in the fucking group, okay?
Interesting. And we'll keep you definitely keep you posted on that as the weeks come up, because this storyline is starting to take shape. I predicted that Layla Gray would end up being one of the baddies, but we shall see. It's still up in the air. Everything is up in the air, my friend.
I mean, she's not one of the baddies. She's an interim baddie.
Yeah, she's not one of the baddies
woman.
Yet. She was a henchwoman for $1,100.
Part of the group.
So Daniel Garcia cut a promo on Wheeler Yuta, and they're going to face each other
at the ROH pay-per-view
for a title, no less.
His pure championship. They have to do pure rules, which I don't understand the rules, so don't quote me on this.
Well, you know what it is, right?
I don't watch
it. It's a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah.
The fucking pure title. What the hell? The fuck is this shit? It's a bunch of horse shit, bro. Give me some fucking blood and carnage. I want carnage, damn it. Backstage, FTR is seen challenging the Briscoes for a match at Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah, because they have a rematch clause. They have a rematch for those tag titles, though.
So. So then we get the big, the meat and the bones.
Yeah.
The meat and the fucking bones of this whole thing. John Moxley.
Defending his world title against Brody King.
Brody King, yeah. The William Regal comes out for the commentary, no less. You want to break down the match, or what do you want to do?
It was just a hard-hitting match. It was good. John choked out Brody King, and that's how he got the win. And that's really all that happened. Nothing really happened. There was no shenanigans. There was no interference. Nothing special happened. This was just a regular main event world title match that John Moxley retained. That's about it.
We didn't get a catch-as-catch-can match. That's for damn sure. Two big guys, you know, butting heads, trading elbows and knees, forearms, stomps, and pile drivers and shit. It was a good match. I was hoping to see a little bit of gore. Somehow I always expected it from Moxley, and he did that to me. But we didn't get the gore this time around. But Moxley won with a knockout bulldog choke. Winner,
well, of course.
And still interim AEW champion, who they made it clear he will keep the title. Until
CM Punk
comes back.
And they do a unified world title match.
Yeah. And so there you have it. I didn't care for this show, my friend. But I'll give them a break. It's a reset. I mean, they just had their pay-per-view. When was it? Like last week? We had the show last week. Yeah, so we had the show last week. So they're in the middle of a reset right now. But, man, damn it, bro. Without their, you know, some of them top guys that are missing, man, they're, you know, they're having to force up these guys. And, you know, here we are. Without Danielson, without Punk, the two bigger names without Cole, who, you know, he's turned to nothing more than an entrance lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we are. So next week's episode, they talked about what are we having next week? The triple tag team match.
Fighter Fest is next week.
Yes, Fighter Fest. So is this Fighter Fest Blood and Guts where they have it every year?
No, it's like night one. It's like night one and night two. It's just a special Dynamite show, you know.
I see.
It's Claudio versus Jake Hager. It's the triple threat tag title match. Then is another match that I don't know. That's it.
And so there you have it. That was those are the results from Dynamite Raw. I mean, I'm sorry. I sound like fucking Jim Ross here. Those are the episodes from AEW Dynamite. Not the episode, but you know what I mean. The results from AEW Dynamite this week. So yeah, there you have it. I thought it was a bad show, bro. I think it's going to reflect in the ratings, but we'll see.
I mean, it wasn't a bad show, but it was a boring show.
It was slow. It was a slow show. So we'll see how the ratings reflect on that, and we'll know some about that tomorrow, obviously. But we'll keep you posted next week. We'll talk about that next week. We'll see how good it was next week, and we'll talk about it. In the meantime, Christian, anything else you want to say, bro?
Nah.
Yeah, I think we're done here, man.
Yeah.
I think we're done here. So let's go ahead and close it out. It's been real, it's been big, and it's been everything you wanted, hopefully. We're just having fun with this, but here we are. So keep it real, keep it heel. More importantly, keep it sexy, and we'll see you next time right here on Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Peace out, motherfuckers. Tell them, Christian. Peace
out, bitches.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.